Welcome, OTG fans, to a special finals preview edition of the NBA Outlet presented by OTGBasketball.com. Make sure you follow OTG on Twitter at OTGBasketball. I'm your host, Nick Fay. With me, as always, Jonathan Ibrahim. What's up, Jonathan?
Great to be back, Nick. Excited to talk about the Warriors-Cavs trilogy we're going to have.
Yeah, we finally got it. I mean, this is what we talked about in the previews and the preseason, everything. You know, this is what we thought all year. There was a little chatter that maybe the Cavs wouldn't get here, but, you know, that was really nothing. The Warriors and Cavs are going to meet in the finals. The Warriors are 12-0. Cavs are 12-1. This is going to be everything we wanted and everything we've been waiting for. What is the thing you're most excited about in the series?
To be honest, I'm just excited for the bad blood that these two teams have for each other. I mean, over the last two, we kind of started to see towards the end of the 2016 finals where they were starting to get chippy, but there wasn't really a lot of it in 2015. But now it's really starting to look like these two teams don't like each other. And that always creates good drama in the NBA Finals.
Yeah, no, there definitely is some hate. I think what in the preseason, Draymond had that video. He said, if we face the Cavs in the finals, we want to annihilate them. You know, it's been well known what happened last year, too. Draymond getting suspended, talking shit to LeBron. LeBron wasn't too happy about it. He went into Super Saiyan mode, and they went on to win three games and, you know, defeat that 3-1 deficit. This year, it's going to be different, though. We look at it, you know, not only are the Warriors have another great season, but they added a player like Kevin Durant. The Cavs added some nice pieces on the bench, but nobody the caliber of Durant. What do you think that means for the series, and is it really make the Warriors that big of favorites?
I think it definitely makes them the favorites by a wide margin. The Cavs just really have to hope that the chemistry just isn't there yet. Kind of like how we saw in 2011 with the big three in Miami. Whenever good teams that have just been put together get challenged a little bit, you can see it fall apart. You can see all that chemistry that they've built over their first 82 games and the first few rounds of the playoffs kind of dissipate. And if the Cavs can kind of get in the Warriors' head, maybe they still have a chance.
Yeah, and the one interesting thing that I think hasn't been talked about quite enough is Steve Kerr is still an unknown. We don't know if Kerr's going to be coaching from the bench or if he's going to be in the locker room or what to expect of that aspect. Obviously, Mike Brown was gone 12-0, but Steve Kerr's had input on that, and in the finals, it's a whole different story.
Yeah, just having those little after-time-up plays and little conversations with Steph or KD as they're maybe if they're in a shooting slump, those little things kind of go under the radar, and I think that if he's not on the bench, it hurts them a little bit. But at the same time, like you said, Mike Brown's been doing a good job. And, you know, maybe he's a little extra juice to play against the Cavs after the way he kind of was dismissed from their franchise.
Yeah, and he definitely has some extra juice there. But you made the great point about Kerr and what he says to, you know, Clay, Curry, Draymond. You know, he's kind of like that leader. And, like, you know, when your leader's around, you kind of just have that, like, relaxing factor. Like, okay, everything's in control. They kind of take care of anything if it goes wrong. I don't know if they'll need that in this series, but you never know.
Yeah, it's always an added benefit when you have that's what separates great coaches from good coaches, right?
Yeah, especially in that the extra connection with the players, and you definitely can feel like that team really loves Kerr. But I mentioned it; both these teams have been great in the postseason, and it's kind of ridiculous looking at the advanced stats of these teams yesterday. A lot of them are very close. You know, there's not really a huge difference in anything. Both teams are shooting around 50% from the field. Offensive, defensive ratings are both great. Warriors have a 16.3 differential. Cavs have a 14.3 differential. Turnover percentage, 12.5, 12.3. So, I mean, it's really crazy when you look at the stats how great both of these teams have been this postseason.
Yeah, and it's really cliche to say this, but what it's eventually going to come down to is execution. Who executes their game plan to the best of their abilities and who really, you know, follows the coaching orders, comes out and plays hard. But that's really what's going to separate these two teams.
Yeah, the thing is, it's going to really come down to a few shots each game. And you said it, execution, it's just going to be those guys who want it more. It's going to be those plays we saw in Game 7 where LeBron has that ridiculous chase down block. You know, you put in that extra juice and you make that extra play, and that'll decide who wins the championship. But moving on, what we're going to do here in this preview, we're going to go through each matchup. You know, there's a lot of big-time matchups in this series. First ones first, we're going to talk point guards, Steph Curry versus Kyrie Irving. Now, we're not necessarily these guys aren't going to match up on the court, but, you know, just who's going to win this point guard matchup. They both have been great in the postseason. We've talked about it on this pod before. This is probably Curry's best postseason. He's averaging over 28 a game, shooting 50% from the field, over 43% from three. So big postseason from him, but Kyrie's starting to heat up at the right time. What are you looking to see in this matchup here?
I'm looking to see a lot of scoring, a lot of crazy dribbling, a lot of highlight plays. These two guys are probably two of the top five point guards in the NBA. They're definitely the two most exciting point guards to watch in the NBA as far as I'm concerned. I'm looking for the ankle taker to take maybe a slight edge in this series because Steph Curry, he's not really been the Steph Curry we've come to know when, come finals time. So I'm looking for Uncle Drew to be take a little bit of an edge over there, over Steph.
Yeah, Uncle Drew, I mean, a lot of people would say outplayed him last year in the 2016 finals, especially when he had those big games. But I think I'm looking at Curry, and I think this is the best we've seen him going into this into the finals. He seems to have his groove. And what I like, I'm seeing Curry's game that's great, is not only is he shooting, but he's taking advantage of his shooting ability and getting to the rim a lot. A lot of nice handles, a lot of finishes around the rim. Obviously, Kyrie does somewhat of the same thing. But I think this is going to be Curry's year to finally have a big finals. And if he has a big series, it's definitely going to be tough. And because the Cavs, you know, in the past, when he starts to heat up, have trapped him. But this year, they have Kevin Durant over Harrison Barnes. So definitely going to be interesting stuff. And this year, do you think this matchup could decide the series, or, you know, there's other parts that are going to be more important?
No, I think there's another position that's a little bit more important, but we'll get to that. It's definitely one of the most important ones, though. And like you said, I mean, I'll be honest. I think that's good news for the Cavs that that Steph Curry's looking to be the top dog on this team, because I don't think the Cavs can beat the Warriors with Kevin Durant being their best player. I think if Steph Curry plays as the best player on this Warriors team, they have a chance, because then they can start to get in Kevin Durant's head, make him defer a little bit, take him out of his game. But with Steph, I don't see that type of personality. I think if he's not hitting his shots, there's other ways he can affect the offense. So I think it's good news for the Cavs if Curry's going to be their top dog.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I mean, like I mentioned, Curry's definitely his all-around game has improved. Kyrie hasn't been a great defender, but do you expect him to kind of turn it up in the finals and kind of excel a little bit?
Kyrie always does turn it up in the finals. I always heard these things about Kyrie being a bad defender. And you know what? He is a kind of a lazy defender during the regular season. But both years in the finals, even game one in 2015, you really, really saw him clamp down on Curry. You saw him play really good defense. And ultimately, what does it come down to? I mean, defense is, what, 60% effort.
Yeah,
so
moving
when Kyrie puts his head to it. Exactly. So when Kyrie puts his head to it, I think he's a good defender. You know, he's got quick hands. He can stay in front of his mark. He's got good lateral quickness. He's athletic. So I think he's a decent defender when he wants to be. It's just during the year he gets disinterested.
Yeah. And what do we expect to see here? I mean, we expect to see Klay Thompson on Kyrie. Do you expect to see Kyrie on Curry or JR?
Probably Kyrie. That's what I expect to see. Maybe not for the whole game, I think, because having to chase Curry around all those screens and things is going to, especially as the number of games go on. But the problem with taking him off of Curry is then he's got to guard Klay, and that's the same problem. But now the guy he's defending is a few inches taller, so I think you'll see him on Curry for the most part. Because if he switches them, coaching staff is going to notice that they're going to run through Klay. The Warriors have that kind of those kind of options, right?
Yeah, they have that luxury, is where like they just can have players. You know, you want to take this guy away, we got another guy that can score. You want to take him away, we got another guy that can score. Oh, you want to take him away, we got another guy that can score. So, I mean, that's the issue you face when you face the Warriors in general. But so you have Kyrie in favor in this matchup, and I have Curry.
Yeah.
All right, moving on to the next one. This is kind of an underrated matchup, and this position could definitely really be interesting, and that's Klay Thompson versus J.R. Smith. You know, Klay's been kind of cold this postseason. He had a rough series against the Spurs. J.R., he hasn't been needed as much with Kevin Love stepping up, and he still hasn't really been the same coming off that injury, but he's been pretty efficient this postseason. I think he's shooting 48% from the field, over 40 from three. Only six a game, but, you know, he's still pretty efficient for this team.
What I like about what the Cavs have at the shooting guard position is that they have different options they can throw at you. So they got RJ, they've got Kyle Korver, they got J.R. Smith. So while Klay Thompson has to do a lot of the heavy lifting for the Warriors, the Cavs have a bunch of different options. And if one guy isn't hitting, they can swap him out and try somebody else.
Yeah, they definitely have some flexibility there. And like I said about Klay, is do you expect him, you know, he's been cold this postseason. He hasn't been great. He had a rough series against the Spurs. Do you expect him to get out of that funk, or do you expect him to stay cold this series?
It's hard to say. Klay is starting to look like the odd man out. there's long stretches where he doesn't get the ball in his hands, and as a shooter, that can really cool you down. So, I mean, I look to the Warriors to kind of get him going early and maybe see if that he can heat up early. But, yeah, I don't know if his shooting is going to get much better.
I have a question for you. Defensively, I know it's always talked about he's a great defender. Do you think he's a little bit overrated defender, or do you think it's a fair thought?
I think it's fair. He's a good man-to-man defender. What I don't like about Klay's defense is that he gets lost quickly. If you watch teams that have a more free-flowing offense, there's times where he gets confused and he kind of gets caught out of position. But in terms of just one-on-one defending, he's a great defender. So, I mean, I guess it can go both ways. There are some guys that are good team defenders. There are some guys that are good man-to-man defenders.
And JR, on the other hand, obviously he's not known for his defense, but last year in the finals, he played good defense. You think his D is a little bit underrated going to the series?
The problem with JR is that he's great when he wants to be great. He has a tendency to get distracted, and he can kind of get down on himself, and that really affects his game. He's a very emotional player. When he feels good, he plays well. But if he doesn't feel good, he really suffers. His game falls apart. You saw in 2015 when LeBron really needed him to step up, JR just disappeared.
Yeah. So now he's kind of in a smaller role when he's only needed not as much. And like you said, they kind of have these other options at shooting guard. We'll talk about the bench a little bit later. But it's definitely a weird matchup. Do you think this still favors Klay, or JR has a chance to kind of surprise everyone?
It depends which version of Klay we get. If we get regular season Klay, then of course the Warriors have an advantage. But if we get the Klay we've seen so far in the playoffs, shooting 38% from the field and 36% from the 3-point line, I like the Cavs, multiple options at shooting guard. Kyle Korver shooting over 40% from the 3-point line. J.R. Smith's giving you good good minutes on the defensive end. And we know he can hit shots when he starts to feel good. He's hitting his shots at a pretty high clip so far. I think he's shooting 45% from three. So, I mean, if Klay is reduced to a spot-up shooter, the Cavs spot-up shooters have been shooting better. But if we get regular season Klay, then they definitely have an advantage.
Yeah, and I mean, you'd probably say Klay is going to be better defensively than all the shooting guard options the Cavs are going to throw out. If Klay seems to catch fire in the series and he goes back to, you know, being regular season Klay or that hot level that he's hit in the postseason at some points, do you think there would be a lock for the Warriors to win if he was able to, you know, get hot and the rest of the guys were able to play well?
Not a lock, but it really does increase their chances.
All right, moving on to the next one. This is the key matchup. This is what everybody wants to hear about. Kevin Durant versus LeBron James. Obviously, LeBron was huge last year in the finals. Finals MVP. Had that, like I said, they won three straight. Beat this Warriors team that set the record for most wins of the season. Last year, KD obviously was not in the Warriors. He got knocked out in the Western Conference Finals. What are you looking for in this series? What are you pumped about?
I'm pumped about the fact that these are the two best players in the NBA. And, you know, people can talk about Steph Curry as being one of those two guys. But in my opinion, these are the two best players in the NBA by a significant margin. And anytime you get to see two great players going at each other, especially on a stage like the NBA Finals, it's always great.
But talking about these guys, both have been great in the 2017 postseason. You look at Durant's numbers and you're like, wow, this guy's having a great postseason. But then you look on the other side, you look at LeBron's and you're like, holy shit, this guy is having an amazing postseason. LeBron's averaging 32 a game, 8 rebounds, 7 assists, 56% from the field. You know, he's 2.2 steals and 1.4 blocks in 40 minutes a game. He's just been huge for the Cavs. We mentioned how dominant they've been, only losing one game. And it's just, LeBron's been epic. Like I said, KD's been great on the other side. Curry's been great on the other side. But LeBron's been another level this postseason.
Yeah, it's been fun to watch. He looks younger. He looks like he's getting younger. It's unbelievable. He gets to the basket easier. He's kind of bullying, you know, smaller defenders easier. It's incredible. I can't seem to wrap my head around it. I don't remember the last time I saw a player look like he was getting better in his 14th season.
Yeah, and he's outrunning everybody on these fast breaks, getting those outlet passes from Kevin Love. It's just like, you know, it's kind of crazy that he's looked so great. You know, people had mentioned in the last few seasons, like, oh, when are we going to see LeBron's decline? But, you know, we're not seeing that. You know, if he's not getting younger and faster, he's getting a lot smarter. You know, he just seems to have everything in complete control. Everything's just going his way on the court, and it's going to be a great matchup. And Kevin Durant on the other side, he seems to really fit in with the Warriors. You know, it just seems to be a great relationship there. He fits the style of play. He's still getting plenty of shots. Like I mentioned, I think he's shooting. He's averaging over 25 a game. So, what do you expect to see in this matchup?
I expect to see a lot of scoring. I don't expect to see them guarding each other, though. I doubt Durant's going to be on LeBron, and I doubt LeBron will be on Durant. And so maybe the fourth quarter or the end of the fourth quarter. I don't expect them to guard each other, but it'll be a fun matchup. Obviously, that's what people are really going to be looking at. They're going to be comparing LeBron to KD. They're going to be comparing LeBron to Curry. And if one of those guys doesn't show up, you can expect them to get roasted in the media, yeah, social media.
Yeah, no, we all know what happened after LeBron had one bad game. It was just all hell broke loose for him. Like you mentioned, you know, it's unlikely these guys are going to cover each other a ton. Who do you expect the Cavs to throw at KD? Who do you expect the Warriors to throw at LeBron?
I think you'll see KD get a few different looks. I see them switching a lot, so you might see Tristan Thompson come over and switching up picks. Look at Richard Jefferson to play a lot of minutes on him. J.R. Smith, maybe Kyle Korver. You'll see LeBron on him as well a little bit. In terms of who's going to guard LeBron, it's going to be a mix as well. KD, you'll see minutes on him. Draymond will see minutes on him. Klay will see minutes on him. Iggy will see minutes on him. So it'll take a team effort on both sides to stop the opposing small forward. It's not going to be a one-on-one job, but it'll still be exciting nonetheless.
I mean, and just like you said, they're going to throw out different looks. And I think the most important thing for both teams, what they're going to try to do is, you know, the Cavs are going to try to bully KD, keep him away from the basket. Obviously, he's a great shooter, but you don't want to see him get in the lane. And LeBron, I think they're just going to try to make him tired. They're going to make everything he does extremely difficult to do. We had an article back in January when the Cavs and Warriors matched up. Obviously, they're both different teams right now. But what they try to do is just make life extremely difficult for LeBron. And I think that's probably what they're going to try to do in this series and, you know, let the other guys beat us. Who do you think is going to be easier to get out of their game, KD or LeBron? Obviously, they're going to be able to give more attention when they try to stop LeBron because they don't quite have as much talent as the Warriors. And KD, on the other hand, you know, might be easier to get out of his game because he's just not quite as talented as LeBron is in all aspects of the game.
I think mentally LeBron has an edge on Kevin Durant. I think Kevin is starting to show this season. He's starting to show cracks in his mental composure, the same way LeBron was showing cracks during his first couple of seasons in Miami. I really see a lot of parallels, just the way he's handling the media, this kind of trying to play the villain role. But I don't think Kevin Durant is equipped mentally to kind of play that role. And I think the Cavs have a good shot at taking him out of the series, just mentally. The same way the Mavs kind of may have put LeBron James in the background, I think the Cavs have a chance to do that with Kevin Durant. If they can, they have a good chance of winning the series. But if he plays either anywhere close to the way he's used to playing, it doesn't look good for Cleveland.
What type of numbers do you think the Cavs need to see from LeBron to win the series?
It's difficult because with LeBron James, he could give you a few different stat lines. He could give you, you know, 40, 10, and 5. He can give you 30, 10, and 10. You know, he can give you 25, 15, and 12. It depends on the type of production he's getting from the guys around him. I think LeBron's going to have to be closer to that 30, 10, and 10 type player. Well, score on his own, hit his outside shots, which so far in the playoffs he's been able to do, because that just makes him so much more difficult to guard. But at the same time, everybody else involved, the other guys are going to have to hit their shots. So he's going to have to be the playmaker, the maestro, get those guys involved. And as long as those guys can hit down their shots, they've got a chance of winning in the series.
What type of numbers, like, do you think KD has to have a big series for the Warriors to win? Or he could, you know, he could have a mediocre series and maybe shoot not great and they could still win the series just because they have guys like Curry, Klay, and Draymond?
Just due to the composure of the team, he doesn't have to have a good. If Klay and Steph have a good series, they can still win the game. If Draymond and Steph have a good series, they can win the series. It's just they have so many different guys that can beat you, so many different guys that are capable of scoring 40 points on any given night that they don't need Kevin Durant to win, but he does make them extremely dangerous. He makes them the Golden State Warriors. He makes them that four all-star team.
Yeah, and if you think about it too, is, you know, we talk about 2016, you know, the Cavs did one, it was a 7-game series, and they had a guy, the Warriors had Harrison Barnes playing small forward. Obviously, they had some other guys in that team too that they lost, but replacing Barnes, who had a terrible finals, with someone like Kevin Durant, if he's able to keep his mental composure, will be huge on the series, not only with his offensive scoring, but his all-around impact has improved this year.
Yeah, that's true, but the team lost a lot of help on the defensive side, and you know, people can criticize Harrison Barnes as much as they want. He's a better defender than Kevin Durant.
Yeah, and we'll see how Durant does in this moment. Obviously, Durant has a ton of defensive potential. It's just about maybe putting in that extra effort if he does in the finals, and maybe facing off somebody like LeBron will kind of get that extra edge out of him, because, you know, you look at him, his wingspan, his ability to move, he should be a better defender. He's obviously improved in Golden State, but I still think there's probably another level he could hit if he just puts the energy in.
Well, that's the key word, right? Energy. Like, just look at it from an energy standpoint. One of the reasons why Harrison Barnes struggled with his shot is because he was putting so much effort in on the defensive side, having to cover LeBron James.
Yeah, that's very true. That's why it's so, I mean, that's why we kind of, you know, credit guys like Kawhi Leonard. Obviously, he had not his best year defensively, but he still plays high levels on both ends of the floor. So when you're able to do that, it just has a great impact on the game. It'll be interesting to see if the Cavs have to rely on LeBron so much offensively that takes away some of his defense, because this year in the playoffs, I think they've done a great job putting him in that like center fielder role where he's been able to just, you know, hit the passing lanes, get those easy turnovers, deflect passes, and defensively the Cavs have looked better in the postseason. And I think a lot of that has to do with LeBron.
Yeah, I think you'll see a lot of that through the first three quarters of each game. But I think as the game kind of winds down, you see a little bit more isolation play. You'll see LeBron covering Curry, you'll see LeBron covering Kevin Durant. You'll basically see LeBron covering whoever has a hot hand.
Who do you think, obviously this means a lot for both guys, and we're going to make the argument, who does this, you know, championship matter to more? Like Durant, you know, leaving OKC, coming to the Warriors, joining this super team, and then if he lost, it would be terrible. LeBron, obviously, people always hate on him for his finals record, and another loss in the finals wouldn't look good. Who needs to win this more, KD or LeBron?
This is going to be kind of a weird answer. I think the win is more important to LeBron James. I think in terms of his legacy, what he's trying to accomplish personally, I think the win itself, winning another championship, is more important than Durant winning his first. But I think the fact that Kevin Durant might lose is going to be, if Kevin Durant loses, it's going to be a bigger deal than if LeBron James loses. But if LeBron James wins, it's going to be a bigger deal if LeBron James wins. Does that make sense?
That makes 100% sense. I actually agree with that 100%, just because LeBron, you know, winning this championship would be huge. You know, this Warriors team, even though they don't have the record of last year's team, there's a great argument this is a better team. This is maybe the most talented team ever in the NBA. And LeBron beat them, being the underdog in this series, would just be huge for him. And it would finally allow certain people, I think a lot of us already have LeBron and MJ pretty close, this would put them a little bit more even, and people would finally start accepting that argument. KD, on the other hand, this win for him would just be, you know, oh, he joined the super team, he got his championship, like, no shit. You know, if they didn't win, it would be pretty bad. And if he loses, like you said, it's going to be terrible. Everyone's going to hate him. LeBron loses, it's going to be like, you know, I mean, he's facing the team that he beat last year, and they added the second best player in the league. What did you expect?
Nick, there are people that if LeBron James was traded to Philly next season, went 82-0, went 12-0 in the first three rounds, then swept the Warriors in the finals, would still not be considered better than Michael Jordan.
Yeah,
no matter what he does, it's just never, they're never going to allow it, right? It's the delusion theory. You know, if something doesn't go along with your world vision and what you believe, you know, you'll never accept it. And it's unfortunate, but it's just the way the world works.
And it's just like, it's so hard for people to understand that. Like, they always want to bring up these scoring numbers, but we have to understand LeBron is not all about his scoring. He's an excellent playmaker. So I think like when people look at those numbers and they're always trying to push that argument forward, it's just like LeBron impacts the game in a lot of different ways at a great level. So I'm definitely okay with the conversation. It's like some people just hate LeBron. You know, just like appreciate greatness, don't hate.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is. And I think part of it is just that's the nature of sports, right? And when you have a guy who goes to seven straight finals, or, you know, a team like the Spurs that win 50 games in, you know, 10 plus years, they start to wear on your nerves. And I think it's just the nature of sports.
Well, and then, you know, you kind of get sick of the same guy knocking your team out. You know, it's just like, oh, my God, it's like, or, you know, imagine being like one of these good teams that, you know, you think is like a championship level team, but they can't get past the Cavs. Like, think about that Pacers team. That was a great Pacers team. I think they had the one seed one year. They had, you know, 50 plus wins a few times. If LeBron wasn't there, there's a good chance they'd probably get a finals appearance. Not saying they'd beat the teams out west, but, you know, that would make me kind of hate the Heat, hate the Heat and hate LeBron.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree with you.
So, but who do you have in this matchup? Who do you think is going to have the bigger series?
Between LeBron and KD?
Yep. I have to ask the question.
LeBron, 100% LeBron.
Yeah, I think, and part of that too is not that like LeBron's obviously the better player here, but the Warriors just don't need as much out of KD. The Cavs need everything out of LeBron if they're going to win. You know,
absolutely, yeah.
He has just so much of an impact on the game. They're going to need LeBron to be 100% in every category and just kind of light it up, where KD, we mentioned it before, he could kind of have a 60% type series and not be great, and, you know, the Warriors could still walk away with a win.
This team almost beat the LeBron last year without KD.
Yeah, exactly. So it's just like, it's kind of ridiculous when you think about it. Every time I just think about Durant joining a team that lost in the finals and had the best record in the NBA, it's kind of crazy that it even is possible to happen.
For me, it's not so much the fact that he joined a team that lost in the NBA finals. It's the fact that he joined a team that beat him.
Yeah, that too. And I want to ask you an interesting question. What do you think the Cavs season would be like if KD were to have joined the Cavs this year?
If KD joined the Cavs?
Yeah, after last year, he was just like, all right, I'm going to sign with the Cavs in the offseason.
What would his season be? What would his season have been like, or the Cavs season?
The Cavs season. Like, what type of record would you expect from them? What would you expect in the finals if that were to happen?
I think the Cavs record would probably look somewhere between 55 and 65 wins. It's hard to tell because there probably be chemistry issues at first. You know, is Kevin Durant going to be a secondary player? Is LeBron going to be more of a, you know, playmaker, distributor? So it would be hard to tell, kind of with what happened with him and Dwayne in Miami. But I think towards the end of the season, when you have two guys, the two best players in the league, it doesn't matter if one of them is not playing well, you still have a chance to win that game. So there would have been a lot of games that the Cavs lost because LeBron was disinterested, that they ended up winning because, hey, we can just throw the ball to this other guy and he'll take us home.
So would you expect a clean like 12-0 in the postseason and then possibly a 4-game sweep in the finals if they had that team?
Maybe not a sweep in the finals. I think the Warriors still take a game or two because they are a good team and they can just outscore you on any night. But I don't see them. I don't see any team being able to come close to a Cleveland with LeBron and KD on the same roster.
And I think that kind of just speaks volumes about LeBron. Like, we're talking about that. If he got that type of player, that the Cavs would not lose. But the Warriors, Adam and LeBron, still has a chance to win this championship. So,
yeah, yeah,
it's just crazy to think about. But this matchup obviously is going to get the most attention. We're going to be watching this a lot. You're going to drop an article about this matchup soon, so keep an eye out for that, everybody. But moving on to the power forward matchup. Oh, I forgot to mention, I have LeBron winning this matchup as well, if that wasn't clear. But moving on to Draymond Green and Kevin Love. Now, this is an interesting matchup because last year in the finals, Draymond was great, obviously, other than getting suspended for hitting LeBron and talking all that shit. And Kevin Love really struggled in the finals. He had that big defensive play in game 7. But other than that, you know, he was benched. He only averaged 8 points a game, 6 rebounds. He was playing under 30 minutes a game. It was a tough finals for Kevin Love, but they still did win. But this year in the postseason, Love's been a different player. Overall this year, it's probably been his best year of basketball. Draymond's having another great postseason, but it'll be a lot better matchup this year.
Yeah, I agree. Love seems to finally be one of the boys now in Cleveland. He looks a lot more comfortable playing. He looks a lot more part of the offense. He looks a lot more fluid out there.
Yeah, and the confidence is there too. You know, just like you said, he's one of the guys, but his confidence shooting, like, he's not afraid to take shots. He's not passive. It'll be interesting to see what the Warriors do. Are they going to try to attack him right away? Obviously, he's improved defensively, but he's still not an elite defender by any means. So what do you think in terms of that, what's going to happen?
Well, I think, I mean, you know what you expect from Kevin Love on the defensive side. I like that recently I've been seeing him put in a little bit more effort, but he just doesn't have the athleticism to stay with a lot of guys, especially when he switches out and tries to defend the pick and roll. But I think you'll still see the same level of effort. Draymond is Draymond, right? He's going to be defensive player of the year. I think it's almost a foregone conclusion. He's going to keep doing what it is that he does to help the Warriors win, kind of play that that off-ball, on-ball kind of point-forward role. So I think you're going to see much of the same from these two guys.
Yeah, it'll definitely be interesting. And, like, there's definitely an argument that Draymond was maybe the Warriors' best player last year in the finals. So it'll be interesting to see if he can kind of play at that level again, because they need him to have a big series. I think out of all the guys, they kind of look at Draymond to have a big series, and necessarily doesn't have to be on the offensive end, but defensively he's going to have to be big, because we mentioned it, he's going to probably get lined up on LeBron a decent amount. He's going to get lined up on Love, and they're going to go small, and, you know, the Cavs do have some advantages inside.
Yeah, but that's one of the things that makes Draymond so unique, is that he's only 6'7", and he can play the center position seamlessly.
And one thing he does great is, you know, his team defense and kind of knowing where everybody is at the same time. And what the Warriors do and he does in general that's great is they always put, like, the big men in that weird position where they're not close enough to shoot a layup, but they're not far enough away to shoot a jump shot. So they're kind of like, they hesitate and then they end up making a bad pass. And Draymond and the Warriors seem to be great at that. What do you think they're going to do with Love defensively, the Cavs? You know, put him on Zaza, McGee. I even heard people mention Andre Iguodala because he's banged up.
Yeah, well, I mean, if they put him on Andre, I think that's one of the easier checks for Love. Not so much, even if he wasn't banged up. I mean, he's not going to hurt you in too many different ways outside of hitting down open threes or dunks in transition.
He's shooting a terrible percentage from three this year. I don't know it off the top of my head, but I know it's under 20%.
And there you go. Like, unless he's wide open, he's not going to hit those shots. So I think that's somewhere, if Iguodala does get significant playing time, which I doubt he will get, but if he does, that's one of the places they can hide him. If not, then yes, Zaza, put him on Zaza.
Yeah, Zaza, I think, is a pretty good matchup for him. McGee could maybe cause some issues because he's a little bit more physical and athletic, but Zaza, he should be okay with. And Iggy, he should be fine, especially with him banged up, but we don't expect to see a lot of minutes. It'll be interesting to see if, you know, we know the Warriors are going to try to attack Kevin Love in pick-and-roll situations and get the switch. So it's going to be about what he can do on that switch and if he's too much of a liability for the Cavs to have out there.
Yeah, you're 100% right. And I think a lot of it's going to come from just running these guys off the three-point line. You know what? If they get to the basket and score an easy layup, oh well. But for a lot of guys on this team, an open three is like a layup for them. So it's about running them off the three-point line and making sure they're not scoring threes while you're scoring twos.
Exactly. And on the other side of the ball, offensively, what do you expect out of Love? Obviously, he could have Draymond matched up on him, maybe throw KD on him a little bit. Do you think that he's going to have a good impact in this series, or it's going to be tough with the defensive matchups they throw at him?
He has to have a good series. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. He has to play well. The Cavs need as much firepower as they can, and he's looked good. I saw him against Boston in Game 5. He was hitting a few off-the-dribble threes, coming off picks and things like that. So he's been looking good. He looks a lot more confident. He looks a lot more comfortable. So I expect a good series out of him offensively.
And if he's able to score on Draymond or gets those easy points in the post like we saw him do some in the postseason, LeBron's also done a great job making sure he gets him involved early and often. It could have a really big impact on the series. I think Love is somebody for the Cavs. They want to have a big game one, a big game two, get him going in the series. They don't want to see him start off poor and kind of hurt his confidence.
And if he can have a good game one where he puts together some good shooting and some good rebounding and holds his own on defense, and the Cavs win game one, the series is going to go a lot different than if they lose those first two games.
Yeah, especially if some of the guys have bad shooting games. And let's talk about Draymond a little bit more. Is offensively, he's been shooting great this postseason. He's shooting 47% from three, 50% from the field. He's definitely done his part. I think he, you know, really does well in that role where he's surrounded by all-stars and superstars. But the one thing with him is the technicals. You know, he gets pissed off. He's yelling at the refs all the time. Do you think it's a possibility he could get suspended again this series, or he learned his lesson last year?
He would have to put together quite a few technicals this time to get. He's done a lot better throughout the playoffs so far to not put himself in a position where one mistake can cause his team the series. But at the same time, bringing in KD kind of is insurance policy against that as well, because if he does get suspended, then hey, we still got three guys who can beat you.
Yeah, very, very true. But the one thing about Draymond, though, compared to the other three guys, obviously they'd go to a more offensive-minded team, is he's that guy that kind of, you mentioned, is going to win Defensive Player of the Year, brings that defensive toughness, that little, extra attitude to the team. Do you think his loss would be really more damaging than a Curry or KD loss, or do you think it would be KD or Curry is more important still?
No, I think a lot of the time that kind of gets blown out of proportion. I think just seeing LeBron and Kyrie do what they did in games – Game five and six. Yeah. I think that kind of blew the difference out of proportion. I think Draymond is valuable. I think he's a great defender, but I don't think he's more important than a Stephen Curry or a Kevin Durant.
Yeah. I mean, because you could look at Steph and KD and they could kind of do the same thing Kyrie and LeBron did. They could both could drop 40 on the same night, or, even one of them could put up 50. But it'll be definitely a fun matchup to watch. Draymond, I can definitely see why people think he's really annoying and his attitude and yelling at refs is stupid. But other than that, I like watching him play. I just like his versatility on the court. And he's one of the reasons they're able to play.
You know how I feel about Draymond Green.
Yeah, I know how you feel about Draymond. But who do you have winning this matchup?
I got Draymond. He can do more. He can hurt the Cavs in more than one way. If his shot's not falling, he's a decent playmaker. If his offense just isn't there, he could be the best defender on the court. So he's just got a lot of different ways where he can add value, whereas Kevin Love is really more one or two dimension.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. Green can have that bad offensive series shooting wise and still have a great impact. Love, on the other hand, if he's not scoring great, his impact's not as much felt. How many outlet passes do you expect Kevin Love to hit for easy layups or dunks this series? Over or under? 7.
20. 12.
12?
I'm going to say 12.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see what happens. I expect, the one thing that hurts is that they did it so much to the Celtics. The Warriors have to, really pay attention to that. If they get killed by that, then it's just like you guys aren't watching enough film. But I think still have a lot because sometimes it just happens. But
That's true. I think the transition defense is going to be looking out for that.
Because, honestly, the Celtics, not to talk about that series, but honestly, how do you get beat by the same play so many times? And, you guys are supposed to be known for your defense, your energy, and your effort, and your coach is great, so I'm sure he probably told you, LeBron's going to get open for wide-open layups, make sure we get back. And, it's game five, and this is a desperation game, and you're still not getting back.
I think it's just when you're that locked in, you lose focus of little things like running back in transition. You kind of get stuck ball watching.
Yeah. Well, I think that's somewhat to do with habits of a team and being there before. I don't think you see the Cavs as much lose focus and not get back in transition, where the Celtics are still that young team. And like you said, they're kind of in the moment, and getting killed by LeBron kind of throws everything off for you. But moving on to the next one, we both had Draymond Green. This is a weird matchup because Zaza is not really going to play a lot. I think he's only playing under 15 minutes a game in the postseason. Tristan Thompson, on the other hand, is going to play a lot of minutes. He's had a huge impact last year in the finals, and he had a huge impact in the postseason with his inside presence. He's just somebody you always have to account for on the boards.
Absolutely. I think he doesn't get enough credit for what he brings to the table. He's a great defender. He's a better rim protector than he gets credit for. He doesn't block a lot of shots, but he changes a lot of shots. And like you said, he's one of the best rebounders in the league, and he can finish at the rim. So I like what he brings. I think he's a little underrated.
No, I agree. I think his defense is underrated. Just because he's not out there blocking two or three shots a game doesn't mean that he can't protect the rim at all, and he's not a solid defender. He's really athletic, and he does a great job moving his feet. I know last year in the finals we saw a few times when he did a great job when he got switched on a Curry or Clay outside. So I think that's somebody who really had a nice impact for them last year, and they're hoping that he can kind of bring the same thing this year.
Yeah, when Kevin Love goes to the bench, the Cavs really can switch everything. They can switch any of their bigs onto Steph or Clay, and that really helps them, because once Steph gets a center on him, like we saw in that series with Utah, it never ends well for the defending team.
Yeah, exactly. So, but and then on the other side with the Warriors, like I mentioned, Zaza's not really going to play a lot. It'll be interesting to see if he plays more or less with Tristan Thompson. McGee could probably see some nice minutes, and obviously we know the Warriors like to go small. What do you think we're going to see at center?
Don't forget about David West as well.
Oh, David West, who's going to pick up some minutes probably at center. What do you think we're going to see the most from the Warriors at the center position? Are we going to see more Zaza, McGee, West, or more small ball with Draymond?
Probably going to be mostly Draymond if Iguodala stays on the court. If Iguodala is giving them good minutes, I think it'll be mostly Draymond. If Iguodala doesn't play well, and if LeBron if LeBron starts killing him on the defensive side, then I think you're going to see a little bit more JaVale than Zaza, just because of the rim protection he provides and how make it for LeBron at the rim.
Yeah, McGee is kind of a weird player in the sense that, like, going to the last few seasons, obviously wasn't highly regarded. He was a star on Shaq and the Fool. But now he's come to Golden State. They kind of helped him learn how to play basketball the right way, and he's had some nice impact for them in this series, and he can kind of be someone who gives them that different element that they might have not had in the past. Similar to Festus Ezeli, but Ezeli's, like, never been healthy, so it'll be nice to see if McGee can kind of continue what he was doing all year and in the postseason in the finals.
I think he'll give them the 15 to 20 really good minutes. The key here is that you don't want him playing in crunch time, because he's always one boneheaded decision away from losing you a game.
That's very true. You want to try to get those minutes, you know, this first, second, third quarter, but when it comes to the fourth, you don't want him out there as much, because you said it, you know, he makes those stupid plays. One nice thing that he does offer them is obviously the Warriors space the floor great, but he kind of offers that vertical spacing where he can go up there and catch a few alley-oops and makes that pick and roll a little bit more effective going to the rim.
Yeah, if the Warriors have done a really good job of channeling his abilities. Like they, you know, a lot of the other teams, I think they've asked for him to give them too much. You know, they've asked JaVale to do too much on both the offensive and defensive side. But I think that this limited role has been really good for him.
Yeah, and obviously playing with players like Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Kevin Durant are going to help you. But talking about going back to Thompson.
With Tristan, what he's going to do is have to do all the stuff that he, you know, is known for: rebound, defend the rim, you know, finish at the rim, hit his free throws. If he can do that, I think, you know, he's done what he's been brought in to do. I mean, I can't think the Cavs are going to ask him to do a ton of stuff offensively, other than, you know, when your number is called, finish. And if you catch if you catch an opportunity to grab some offensive rebounds, give us a few extra possessions, you know. That's great too, but I think his biggest value comes in his ability to defend and finish at the rim when his number's called.
And get those boards, like you said. You know that. What do you have him at boards? Last year he had 10 in the finals of the game. Do you think he's going to have more or less this year?
I think it's going to be about the same, plus or minus. Kevin Love's been a little bit more aggressive on the boards this year as well, so that might take away a little bit. And when it comes to crunch time, You know, LeBron's grabbing everything that comes off the rim, so that hurts him a little bit as well. But I think it's going to be about the same. He'll probably have about 6 defensive rebounds, 4 offensive rebounds a game.
I think this is one area where the Cavs have that clear-cut matchup advantage, is that Tristan Thompson's going to be more consistent than anybody they probably throw out there. So I think this is one area where the Cavs definitely need to win.
Absolutely. I completely agree with that.
So we both agree on Tristan Thompson, you know, outplaying whoever they throw at center. But let's look at the benches. We're not going to go as in-depth on every guy, but obviously they both have solid benches. We mentioned McGee, Clark, Andre Iguodala, Pat McCaw, Matt Barnes. And then looking at the Cavs side, Channing Frye, Darren Williams, Kyle Korver, Amon Shumpert, Richard Jefferson. Quick question. Out of those 10 guys, if you threw them on an NBA team, how many wins would they grab? Combining both benches.
It's a 42, at least a 42 win team, I think.
Yeah, because they'd have a really solid bench either way, and like the starters would still be pretty good. It'd definitely be interesting. I think they could probably grab maybe a low seed in the East.
Yeah, absolutely, or even a low seed in the West as well. I think the amount of 3-point shooting, the amount of defense, and you know, some of the guys on both teams' bench could be starters elsewhere.
Yeah, and they got some high basketball IQ type guys, so it kind of just tells you like how talented a bench these teams have, that they're better than some team starters, and that, you know, they could just have such a great impact on the game. And it's not like, you know, every time, you know, you're so used to watching an NBA game and the bench comes in, they kind of lose the lead or the basketball's not as great. But sometimes the bench comes in for the Cavs and for the Warriors and the lead can kind of go up. So it's definitely.
Yeah, and that's so important to have, especially in the playoffs.
Yeah, because you don't want to see that drop. We know what happened to OKC against Houston. As soon as Westbrook hit the bench, the team just couldn't even score a bucket. And just not having anybody that can kind of come in and help your guys out. Same thing with the Rockets, too, in the next round against the Spurs when they only played seven guys when Nene went down. You know, you need to have these guys that can come in and get your guys some rest when it's necessary.
Yeah, I completely agreed.
Who do you think is the most important bench player for each team?
I'd say for the Warriors, it's got to be Andre Iguodala. He provides them with another person that they can throw LeBron defensively. And, you know, he's hit some big shots. We're talking about a former Finals MVP, right? It's yeah. You know, it's crazy to even think that, but yeah, we're talking about the guy who won Finals MVP in 2015. So he's definitely the most valuable asset on the bench. And believe it or not, for the Cavs, I think their most valuable player coming off the bench is Kyle Korver.
I agree. I think Korver just has that ability to just go in this human torch mode and just like scorch from three. And that's kind of something you need when the Warriors get hot. Like you could see Korver come in off the bench and hit three straight threes, and that's 9 points right there. And I agree with Iguodala as well. And he's kind of a weird series ahead of him because he's coming off injury. He hasn't been great in this postseason. They haven't used him quite as much with adding Kevin Durant. So it'll be nice to see what type of impact he has.
Yeah, absolutely. And Kyle Korver, he comes in off the bench and he hurts teams quietly. You know, you look at the box score after a game and you see he had 16 points and you think, how did he score 16 points? I don't remember him scoring 16 points. But it's with those little bursts coming off the bench and hitting, you know, three back-to-back threes or you know, three threes off of five possessions.
Yeah, it definitely is incredible stuff. And the amount of, like, weird shots that he takes, like, floating in different directions, and he just makes it look so easy. It's just, like, he makes you want to go out and shoot threes, but it just is not that easy.
Yeah.
Just like everybody in the series. Like, honestly, so many people are going to watch a game of the finals. They're going to go to the park the next day and just try to launch threes, and they're going to be like, oh, shit, it's really not that easy. Because you got guys like Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Kyle Korver, Tyrese gets hot. You know, guys that could just, like, make it look smooth out there.
Oh, that is the only thing I have against Steph Curry is that he's turned every YMCA player in North America into a 3-point shooter.
Yeah, no, that's about a year ago we did a podcast, and one of the guys I was on was he's a coach for, you know, I think middle school kids, and he was talking about how everybody at practice just wanted to launch threes, just, you know, everybody's just trying to be the next Steph. I mean, it definitely is a negative aspect. I guess the positive thing would be, is I talked about this with somebody yesterday with Steph, is like, he's an average guy. You know, he's 6'3". He's not like incredibly athletic. He's not incredibly like super strong or big or anything. He's just an amazing shooter, and he's somebody who's worked on his skill and got better. He kind of gives hope to those people that aren't that 6'8" beast like LeBron.
Yeah, that's fair. I don't think Curry gets enough credit for his athleticism. I think Curry's an incredible athlete. He's not your typical NBA type of athlete.
Yeah, he's a good athlete. He just doesn't have that explosive like burst above the rim,
leaping ability.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest,
I agree.
Everybody in the NBA is a good athlete. It's just like when we're talking in terms of, you know, LeBron James is one of the players, Russell Westbrook, Zach LaVine, guys that are just like, you know, super athletic. And then these other guys are still really athletic compared to, you know, your average Joe. So, but back to the bench. Oh, go ahead, John.
No, I was just going to kind of like final thoughts on that. I think you're right. He doesn't have eye popping athleticism, but I think, it just kind of goes under the radar a little bit. I mean, being able to handle the basketball, having hands like that, it does take tremendous athleticism. And I don't think he gets enough credit for that.
He's very skilled too. I think that's something you can appreciate about Curry, is like coming to the league, he didn't have all these skills. His impact wasn't great, and he was just mostly known for his shooting. But now he's shown that, you know, he can get to the rim. He can handle the basketball. He's improved as a playmaker and a passer. Defensively, he's improved. So I like what I've seen from him this year and going forward. But back to the bench real quick. Who do you think has the better bench in this series, and who's going to have the advantage in the series?
I think the Cavs have the better bench, and not to take anything away from Warriors bench. They have a great bench as well. But I think losing Barbosa was kind of a a negative for them. He gave them a lot of good minutes and just gave them an extra ball handler and helped with that small ball push. I think the Cavs didn't really add a star player to their core, but they added, you know, two or three really, really nice pieces. Deron Williams, like you mentioned, Kyle Korver. They added Andrew Bogut, which would have been huge if they could have kept him, but unfortunately, you know, he went down with the injury. So I think the Cavs bench is a little bit deeper and they can give them a little bit more production towards the end.
I think looking at both benches, I'll give the Cavs the edge offensively. Defensively, I'll give the edge to the Warriors probably. But both guys have a ton of benches. And like it almost feels like, you know, a lot of people weren't that hyped about Kyle Korver signing with the Cavs during the year because he didn't have a great start. But now they're starting to realize, like, bringing a player like that off the bench when you have players like LeBron and Kyrie out there that can just space the floor. And Korver's the type of shooter you can't give him an inch. So that's just like pulling people away from the rim and making life a lot easier for LeBron. So I think it's pretty – I'm going to go with an even because I think one side wins in each out. But overall, we talked about the matchups. What do you think's the advantage for the Cavs in the series?
I think their size and strength is their biggest advantage. Their ability to bully the Warriors is going to help them out a little bit. It'll depend on, you know, ultimately how this game is officiated, if that becomes a big advantage or not. But I think that's their biggest advantage, other than the fact that they have the best player on the planet.
It's funny. That's exactly what I was thinking. You know, inside present, I think, is their advantage. With somebody like Tristan Thompson, somebody like LeBron, where people kind of forget how big he is. And when it comes to the finals, he's going to be inside. He's going to be blocking shots. He's going to be grabbing rebounds. They're going to be able to dominate inside a little bit unless the Warriors guys step up. They're going to need players off that bench to step up. Like we said, McGee, David West, and Draymond's going to have a big series if they're going to want to compete with them inside. And then obviously having the best player in the series just is such a huge advantage. And LeBron just goes in this Super Saiyan mode when it comes to the finals, and he kind of knows what's on the line. He talks about the ghost in the past. You know, he's trying to chase MJ, so it's going to be a lot on the line for him. What's the Cavs' biggest weakness in this series?
Their defense, their ability to defend the three-point line, run guys off the three-point line, that really hurts them. And you saw that game they lost against Boston was because their guards went crazy from behind the line. You know, Marcus Smart hit, I think, 7 threes in that game. And if you can't keep guys off the three-point line, and then you're going to go and try and play the Golden State Warriors, it's got the potential to end bad. You know, each one of those games, there's a potential for the Warriors to drop 130-plus points if the Cavs don't keep them off the three-point line.
Yeah, no, that's been the issue. That's been the talk all year about the Cavs is that defense isn't quite there. Obviously, they've turned it up in the postseason, but you're going to need to play elite-level defense if you're going to try to beat the Warriors. I would also say a weakness for the Cavs would be is they rely so much on LeBron. Like, if LeBron has a bad game in one of these, you know, in one of these games, in like game three, game four, one or whatever, like, the Cavs are almost a guarantee to lose. So, like, they have such a small line for error for LeBron that if he doesn't play amazing, that they don't have a chance. Where if you look at the Warriors, you know, one of their stars plays bad, we can still win the game. But LeBron doesn't have – and not even, like, saying LeBron can have a – he could have a good game and get, like, 23-10-10, but that probably still won't be enough. LeBron's going to almost need to have a huge night every night for them to win.
Yeah, they don't win without him being great. That's absolutely the truth.
Onto the Warriors side, what's their biggest advantage in the series?
I think their versatility is their biggest advantage. Just being able to throw different guys up there defensively, being able to throw the ball into, you know, Klay's hands. If Curry cools down, and if Klay cools down, throw the ball to KD. And if KD cools down, throw the ball to Draymond. I think offensively they have so many options, so many skilled guys that can score in so many different ways that their versatility – both offensively and defensively is what sets them apart.
Yeah, offense, defense, like you said. Offensively, they just have so much firepower, so much pop, where they have guys. You could easily see two guys in the series go for 40 points twice. We could see, and it could be two different guys. You know, it could be Curry and Klay one night, KD and Klay one night, or Curry and KD. You know, they just have so many options to throw at you offensively. And defensively, it helps them too, because I look at this team, and adding a player like Durant not only helps because he's, you know, one of the best offensive players in the league, or maybe the best offensive player scoring-wise, but defensively being 6'10 and being able to move the way he does definitely still fits into their system of switching. So I think that advantage on defense where they've just been locking down people for a while now is going to really help them when they face the Cavs.
Yeah, and they have length at every single position. People don't realize it, but Steph Curry is 6'3". You know, he's bigger than a lot of point guards. He's bigger than Kyrie. So, you know, he's got a lot of length at that position defensively, which although he's not a great defender, that length just makes it more, you know, it's just a natural natural advantage. It makes it harder for the offensive player. Klay's long. Kevin Durant's extremely long. You know, Draymond's really, he's got really long arms. So they've got a lot of length, and that's a huge advantage.
And where Curry might not be a great one-on-one defender, one thing he does, he puts in the effort, and he's also a good team defender. And that's one thing all the Warriors kind of do. They have each other's back. They do a great job of rotating, and they have to double-team somebody. Where you see a lot of teams in this league, when they have to throw a double-team, it almost instantly means an open shot for the other team. But the elite defensive teams are able to double-team people and rotate properly, where they're at least able to contest that shot and not give them a wide-open look. And that's something I think the Warriors do a really good job of.
Yeah, absolutely. And you see when they play, the amount of deflections and the, you know, getting their hand on passes and, you know, playing in the passing lanes, that they do a really good job of that. And it really throws teams out of their offensive groove. You know, people are second guessing their passes. People are taking shots they maybe should be taking. So that does have a big impact.
It like almost makes the offensive player a little bit scared. You know, when they're handling the ball or passing the ball, it's like, oh shit, am I going to throw it? You know, interception here? Are they going to take this for an easy layup? But another advantage I would say is kind of like the disadvantage of the Cavs, where they have the luxury of one of their players not having a great game because they have so much talent and they could kind of get away with it. Where on the other side, they need all their guys to perform big because there's just not as much room for error. What do you think is a weakness for the Warriors going into the series?
I think the only weakness that they really have is that they rely too much on the 3-point shot. And the old saying is, you know, live by the three, die by the three. And if they go cold as a team, there's not a whole lot they can do. Now, what are the chances of that happening? It's not very likely, but they don't have a lot of different ways to beat you. You know, Kevin Durant's great, you know, inside player. Draymond might be able to give you a little bit inside, but if Curry's shot's not falling, if Klay's shot's not falling, it just makes their offense a little bit more difficult, a little bit more clunky. And I think that's their only weakness, is that they do rely on that 3-point shot quite a bit.
I'll give you a surprising fact. This postseason, the Cavs have actually shot a higher percentage of threes than the Warriors have. But
that's a fair stat. But I also think that the, you know, part of that could be the level of competition defensively, because, you know, they played against the Jazz, which are a really good defensive team.
And they're going to push you off the line.
Yeah, exactly. The Spurs, the same thing, coached by, you know, one of the greatest coaches of all time. So they're going to be better defensively than, you know, let's say the Celtics or the Raptors.
For me, I think the biggest weakness is probably going to be what we mentioned for the Cavs, is their inside presence. I think where the Warriors have to kind of make sure they don't get attacked inside and they don't lose that rebounding battle too badly. And they just need to hold up, because we saw times in the Spurs series where they were able to kind of, the Spurs were have some advantage on the boards, and that's what kind of gave them that big game one, is where their inside presence, they were getting a ton of points in the paint when the Warriors weren't hitting their threes. Well, we'll see what happens with that. So biggest weakness and strength for each team right there. But now it's time to talk X factors. Who is the deciding factor for each team in this series?
I think for the Cavs, it's Kyrie. And for the Dubs, it's Kevin Durant.
That's fair. We're assuming that LeBron just has a lights out series, and Kyrie just needs to step up.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say LeBron James is the X factor. I mean, if we know what happens if LeBron James doesn't play well, like they're gonna lose. But whether or not they win will depend on if Kyrie plays well.
What type of numbers do you think we need to see from Kyrie for them to win?
Maybe 25, 5, and 7, something along those lines.
I would think, actually, I might even say a little bit more, depending on, you know, how high the number is in the losses and the wins. I think last year he had averaged 27 a game. So I think he'd probably need to be maybe even a little bit higher than that, just because, you know, the Warriors are going to bring more firepower this year. But I like,
well, there's Kyrie. Only so much.
Yeah. Go ahead.
So I was just gonna say, there's only so much more he can bring if LeBron's gonna average 40, 10, and 15, right? So
yeah, that's true too. It'll be interesting to see like how they set up the role and how much LeBron gives Kyrie the ball to let him kind of do his thing in isolations. For me, I think the X factor is gonna be Kevin Love, because if they can get the offensive pop from Kevin Love they've been getting this postseason. It just makes him that much better of a team. And defensively, if he's able to just hold his own, it doesn't have to be great. It's just going to allow him to play him on the floor, and it's going to give him that extra offensive weapon so they can kind of match the Warriors' offense. But if he plays bad and they have to bench him, his defense is trash, it's going to be tough for them to find more points, and they're going to just be relying on Kyrie and LeBron to do everything.
Yeah, that's true. His defense is just going to keep him on the court.
For the Warriors side, you had Kevin Durant. Why is that?
Just because I think he's going to be the one guy who lets them down. If they don't win, I think it's going to be because he checks out mentally. And if the Cavs can kind of get under his skin, make sure he doesn't play up to his best ability, I think they have a chance to win. And like I said earlier, he just seems like the one guy who, if he's not playing at the absolute best he can play, it hurts the rest of the team. I think the Cavs can beat the Warriors with Steph Curry being their best player. I don't think they can beat the Warriors if Kevin Durant's their best player.
I think that's a fair point. You know, Kevin Durant needing to have that big game and give him the extra edge, and he could kind of hurt the team's mentality if he just kind of gets into one of those emotional states where he's just like looking so down. We've seen it in the past where he just like loses confidence and just misses everything. But for me, I think the X factor, I expect KD to at least have a pretty good series. Same thing with Steph. But I think the X factor is going to be Klay for me. You know, are we going to see ice cold Klay, or are we going to see normal Klay Thompson? Because if he can hit his shots, it just gives him that extra element. And when he's hitting all those open threes and he plays solid defense, it's just another scoring punch for you to have to worry about. And that Spurs series, they almost just like didn't have to commit as much to him because he was hitting nothing and there were wide open looks he was missing.
Yeah, that's a good point. The only reason I would say KD over Klay is because if Klay broke his ankle in the first game and didn't play, you know, the full series, I still think the Warriors are heavy, heavy favorites to win the series.
That's a fair point.
That's the only reason. Yeah, that's the only reason why I would say KD, because if KD gets sucked into this whole LeBron versus Kevin Durant narrative that the media's spin, it can take him out of his game. That's going to frustrate Curry. That's going to frustrate Draymond. It's going to frustrate the entire team. And if they start bickering back and forth, that's when that team's going to start to melt down.
So if that chemistry gets messed up, it looks good for the Cavs. All right, exactly. Moving on to the most important part here. We're going to give you our predictions. I still haven't decided yet, so I'm going to make you go first on this one.
All right, you ready for this?
Yeah, I'm ready.
I'm going with the Cavs in five games.
The Cavs in five games. Well, I definitely do not agree with that. I'm going to go with the Warriors in six games. It wouldn't surprise me if it went five. It wouldn't surprise me if it went seven. I just think the Warriors have too much talent on this team for them to lose. And as great as LeBron is, I don't know if he can overcome two former MVPs and four All-Stars. So
that's a good point. And I know my prediction is a little bit out there, but I think if the Cavs are going to win this series, they have to win it early. I don't think this series can go too long because I think LeBron's eventually going to get worn out. I think the reason they won last year was because LeBron wasn't fully engaged, or he wasn't fully involved until game three started. He, you know, the Warriors got big leads relatively early, and the game was decided by the fourth quarter.
Yeah, that makes sense. You know, LeBron wasn't. And like, to be honest, usually in the longer series, the more games you're going to play, the more talented team is going to win. And I think we would agree that the Warriors are probably more talented, but LeBron gives him that X factor type thing where he can kind of beat somebody who's better than him because he's just amazing.
Exactly. And if he can help the Cavs steal game during those first two, I think they've got a real shot to close it out quickly. It'll all depend on, you know, how the bounces bounce and, you know, what way the calls go. But I think the Cavs have a real shot to close the series out and surprise everybody early.
I have a tougher time seeing the Cavs. I think if the Cavs are going to win, they'll probably do it in six. But I could see the Warriors closing it out early too, just because they could just be ridiculously hot. And we've seen them beat great teams. I think the Cavs would at the least get one. I don't think LeBron's going to get swept. And I wouldn't say the same thing about the Warriors. So I don't think either team would get swept. I think five would be the fastest, but I would see it from the Warriors side before I saw it from the Cavs side. For me, the Cavs would have to be in six. And I just think, you know, they'd steal one of the first two, probably maybe steal one and then go one for one in games three and four, then win the next two and then win in six. What do you, if you, yeah, you know, you're picking those them two, at five, what do you think is going to happen?
Yeah, I think, I'm they're going to win it in five. I think I think those first two games are critical. I think they steal either game one or game two. They win both the games in Cleveland, and then I think they close that out in the fifth game.
So, I mean, if I were to think that were to happen, I would think they'd have to win game one. Because I couldn't beating them, the Warriors, four straight times.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean, but it's just I think the Warriors with their mental makeup, I think if they start to put together bad performances, I think one can bleed into the other, and the chemistry will start to fall apart.
For me, I see it going Warriors in six. I see the Warriors winning game one, Cavs winning game two, them splitting game three and game four, and then the Warriors winning game five, game six, and closing it out. And I think we're going to see a big series from Steph Curry. I just feel like things are working out well for him. I don't think KD is going to be amazing, but I think he'll have a good series. Klay will probably still struggle a little bit. I think Draymond will do good things. LeBron will have a big series, but they're going to need they're just going to ask so much of him, because I could just see other guys not stepping up, or them making LeBron have to rely on some of his teammates and them not coming up in the moment other than someone like Kyrie.
I also think that not facing any kind of controversy in the first three rounds is going to hurt them. I think once they get hit hard, it's gonna knock them back a little bit. And Steph Curry has really had no competition so far in the playoffs. I don't know how the Warriors keep getting this lucky where point guards keep getting hurt right before they play the Warriors. But since Steph Curry managed to avoid George Hill, which is a thing that would have made the Jazz favorites to win the series or anything like that. But I mean, he's just a tough defender. He takes guys out of their game. He would have slowed Curry down a little bit, banged him up a little bit. He managed to avoid Tony Parker, which not really going to do anything defensively against Steph. But he managed to avoid a lot of starting point guards. It's just made his road to the finals a lot easier.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely does. And, he's going to obviously get a bigger defensive challenge. But I think it also allowed him to kind of get hot, where in the past, he necessarily hasn't been great going to the finals. Last year, he had that MCL injury. But I think for both teams, what we're going to see is, it's going to be a completely different basketball. They've been used to just, busting ass all postseason. They've been smoking teams. They haven't even been close. Other than that one loss for the Cavs, which is kind of an outlier anyways, they've just been roasting their competition for the most part. And if they're not roasting them, it's just because they weren't really as interested or they weren't into the game. So this is finally going to be a matchup where they're going to face somebody who's in the same category as them, talent-wise.
And it's going to be a completely different game for both teams.
Who do you have for finals MVP for both teams? If the Warriors win and if the Cavs win?
Yeah, if the Warriors win, I think Stephen Curry or Kevin Durant. It really depends. I'm having a hard time picking between the two, but it's gonna. I think finally it's gonna be one of those two. The best player on that team is gonna deserve the Finals MVP. Personally, I think Curry was a little bit robbed in 2015, but I mean, that's neither here nor there. If the Cavs win, obviously LeBron James.
Yeah, I think for the Cavs, the only possible option is LeBron. For the Warriors, I think it could even be three guys. I mean, it could be Curry. It could be KD. I could even say Draymond being a dark horse option, but I'm leaning towards Curry. I just I don't know. I don't know why. I'm not a huge Curry guy. Don't think that. But this year, this postseason, I just really have liked the vibe I've got from him and the way that he's playing. And I like just the way that he's just not shooting everything. He's also driving to the rim, handling the ball a little bit, getting active on the defensive end. I just see him really engaged, and I see him – people have talked trash about him in the last two finals, so it's time for him to kind of step up, because if he doesn't, I think people start to think he doesn't play big when it matters the most.
Yeah, that's a good point. And you're right. If Draymond doesn't get suspended last year, there's a good chance he would have been Finals MVP. So you're right. I think they have three, possibly four options, at Finals MVP. We saw that in 2015 when Andre Iguodala won. Anybody on that team is capable of stepping up and winning Finals MVP, it seems sometimes.
Yeah, honestly, it's going to be a fun series. It kind of sucks we have to wait all the way to Thursday, but we've already been waiting, the full regular season and postseason and preseason for this all to happen. We're finally going to get what we're asking for. It's going to be the trilogy, and this one kind of decides, because there's no lock. I mean, these two teams are great, but I expect a busy offseason and someone to kind of come with another super team. This could kind of be, best two out of three right here. You know, when you're playing your friends in 2K, all right, you each catch one, and then the third game decides who's better.
That's good. That's a good point. I think we'll be here again next year, though. I have a feeling that there's going to be a fourth, but I think that's where it ends. Fun fact, Carmelo Anthony's contract with New York runs out at the end of next season. James has a player option at the end of next season. Who's the other one? Dwayne, that's right. Dwayne Wade in Chicago, if he picks up his option.
And then I think it was rumored he's going to pick up the option. So, I mean, that's really likely. Paul's the only one that's a kind of question mark because he's going to sign this year, and we don't know how he's going to take that monster deal.
Well, if he signs a long-term deal in L.A., I think the fantasy, you see the banana boat getting together at the Clippers, because LeBron's got a house in L.A., Carmelo's got a house in L.A., Lala wants Carmelo to move out to L.A. There's a good chance you see those guys getting together maybe for a season or two.
The only thing I have a hard time imagining is LeBron leaving Cleveland again. I just think, like, it's just so great that he's there and everything, especially, you know, the moments that he's had being his hometown. He already left once, and like the team he's going to have, it's going to be hard for him to be like, even if you do team up Carmelo, Wade, and Chris Paul at that time, how old are these guys? How great are they at this time? You know, his chances of winning might be better in Cleveland.
Yeah, that's a good point. And you never know. I mean,
they could all go to Cleveland.
Yeah, you know what, man? I don't see Chris Paul going to Cleveland. I see the other two guys.
Yeah,
I see the other two guys, but I think if Chris Paul was going to be on that team, it would have to be in L.A.
Yeah,
Go ahead.
Like you said, I think it would have to be, like, Chris Paul's not going to sign with the Cavs, and I just think that he's not that type of player. It would have to be LeBron to go to him, but I don't know if LeBron's that type of player, so maybe we could see Dwayne Wade sign with one of them and then Carmelo sign with the other guy.
Yeah, well, unless the next two seasons for Chris go really badly.
That too. You know, he's getting up there in age, and he's had his fair share of injuries, and, you know, Carmelo too, he's starting to get up there in age, and Dwayne Wade, we don't know how much longer he's going to be starting, so...
Yeah, probably not much longer. His body's starting to break down a little bit, and this year didn't go too great for him. But I mean, you could look at Wade and Paul as possible bench options in a few years if they're trying to put together, you know, that super team or that banana boat team.
Exactly. Yeah. So that'll definitely be something fun to watch. And like I said, this championship run, if the Cavs win, I think, you know, you might not see as much activity, but if the Warriors win, it's definitely going to send some vibes through the rest of the offseason, and it's going to change opinions of teams. So should be a great year. This should be a great championship. We're going to be doing halftime shows during the finals for sure. There's a possibility we might do post-game shows too, so keep an eye on that. Follow us on Twitter at OTG Basketball. Check out the website, otgbasketball.com, and make sure you hit that subscribe button. Jonathan, thanks for hopping on, and have a great day.
You too, Nick. Always a pleasure.
And thanks, everybody, for listening.